Welcome to the Beyond the Box Score podcast. This is your host, David Kaplan. In this episode, I interview Coach Molly Bichand. She's the Director of Basketball Operations at Western Carolina. Coach, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Want to give yourself a brief introduction to our listeners?
Yeah. So I'm originally from Kansas City. I grew up there. Went to the University of Kansas for my undergrad, was a men's basketball student manager for the 5 years that I was there. I decided I was having so much fun, I didn't want to leave. So I stretched out that last year, and then took a full-time job at the University of Colorado. I actually have been in the equipment services side of things previous to my role at Western Carolina. So was at Colorado for a year working men's and women's basketball and volleyball, straight out of college, working 7 days a week. I thought maybe this is too much. So I did a little bit of a career change, went back to Kansas, worked administrative assistant for the athletic director's office, and then had the opportunity to get back into equipment at Kansas, worked there with women's basketball, softball, volleyball, golf and tennis, I think, and then made a move to Birmingham, Alabama, and worked at UAB. Did equipment there as well, men's basketball, women's basketball. Within the first 6 months of being there, the two previous people that worked there were both gone, so I was now the director of a department and figuring out that. And then from there, had the opportunity to get back to some of my friends and former family from Kansas Connection at Wake Forest. I was the director of equipment services at Wake for men's and women's basketball for 4 years. And then 2 years ago, took the director of operations job at Western Carolina.
Wow. Talk about growing up in Fairway, Kansas.
I mean, I guess it was great. I don't know where else, you know, don't have any other experiences growing up so anywhere, but it was fun. Just, you know, regular kid stuff, played outside a lot. We lived in a great neighborhood. So a lot of my like best friends to this day are from, you know, literally grew up with them. We were born across the street from each other. Just a good community. Not involved in a whole lot, honestly, when I was younger. I have probably a very unique path to where I've gotten to today. I was trying to listen to some of your other podcasts that I know people that have done, and you know, I didn't really play sports growing up competitively. My sister was the athlete in the family, so she did the AAU stuff, and I just kind of got drug along with a lot of that. So it's probably where some of my understanding from the behind the scenes stuff comes in. But yeah, it was great.
Awesome. Is it a rite of passage to go to a Kansas Jayhawk basketball game growing up in Kansas?
Absolutely. I mean, I can't tell you honestly the last Kansas basketball game I've even been to. It's been so long and I want to go so badly, but it's amazing. I knew the Fieldhouse was amazing while I was there, but now being away from it, being in so many other conferences and so many other arenas across the country, like it will always be a very special place to me, but it's no lie when people say like it's top three. So
yeah, the Jayhawks had lost in the national championship during your senior year of high school. What memories do you have of watching that team just as a fan?
My senior year of high school, so that was 2002. Honestly, it was probably just devastation because so much stuff just evolves around Kansas basketball as a Kansas fan growing up in Kansas. But at that time, I hadn't, you know, that's not true. I was involved to an extent. So I started working Roy Williams basketball camps when I was a junior in high school. And that's kind of how I got into being a manager at Kansas. So I knew some of them. I knew the managers a little bit from my summers that I had been there, and then some of the players. So that's probably the first time that I got the a glimpse into, you know, like, it's not just a game, like how much work goes into all of this from everybody. And like, gosh, they got that far and you come up short. But you can then look at how, you know, they're one of the last two teams playing, like they've done everything that they're supposed to do up until that point. So I'm sure I remember being disappointed and upset for them, but thinking, I'm ready to go to college and be a freshman and be able to be a part of this and get the next season started. So
you talk about working Roy Williams camp when you were in high school, and getting to kind of know the people on staff and the managers and how that helped with being a student manager. What was the actual process though? Did you have to interview with the director of basketball operations? Was it, you know, three references and a resume? What kind of process was it?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, probably crazy to even think about this now. So I don't come from an athletic family or coaching family at all. Again, I think my dad was just a big Kansas basketball fan. My birthday is in January, so he jokes, like, any home videos of my birthday, there is a basketball game in the background and it is the Jayhawks on. So I guess I was destined for it in a sense. But I just noticed other people around. Like, I'm obviously not going to play for Kansas basketball, like, but what are all these other people doing? And I just wrote a letter. I'm sure if I looked for it hard enough, my mom probably kept it somewhere, but I wrote a letter. I said, I want to get involved. Like, what are these other people doing? And I just got a letter back from Coach Ben Miller asking me, or inviting me to come work Roy Williams basketball camps. Literally, it was a paragraph and that's all it said. It was like, check which week you want to come. I mailed it back and I just showed up. So I knew no one going into that. I had no idea what I was about to be doing. Kansas City is, you know, it's an easy 45-minute drive from Lawrence. I just went over there and kind of showed up and said, I got this letter. And, you know, I don't remember at that time how many kids, but I mean, the Roy Williams basketball camps and Bill Self basketball camps are like, I mean, they get a ton of kids. So we probably had anywhere from 800 to 1,000 kids signed up for overnight, you know, week camps at that time. And basically my role was to be kind of the dorm camp counselor assigned to a floor and make sure that, you know, 8, 9, 10-year-olds aren't running around too crazy, eating too much sugar, and keeping them on their schedule. So from there, I just got invited to work the second week. Then they said, you know, we'd really like to have you kind of stick around and be a manager for us. And I said, oh, this sounds awesome, but I have to go back to my senior year of high school. So I got in really early. I worked 2 summers of camps before I was actually even a student at KU. So I do know the process now is a little bit more formalized. Larry Hare, who's the direct assistant athletic director of equipment at Kansas, uses the Kansas basketball camps kind of as his manager interview process for all students, for all positions across the board. So it's a great learning lesson into what kind of being a manager will be like. You have to be, you know, available, you have to be flexible, and you have to be willing to just kind of jump in and help where anything is needed. So, I loved it. I love camp still to this day. I love the chaos of the little kids. I find them all hilarious. Like, but yeah, that was the easy process of getting in camps.
Having worked the Roy Williams camp at Carolina for 4 or 5 years, that is still the process they do at UNC to this day. And I feel so bad for you having to be that staff that's on the dorm room floor because, yeah, those kids are all hopped up on sugar.
Oh, yes. We worked the exact same camps. You may have done it at UNC. Mine was at Kansas. But those two, I mean, even from when Coach Self took over. Like it was the same, like the same format. So you have the 4 hours in the morning that they go do skills in the gym, and they bring them back to you all smelly and sweaty. And we took care of them for lunch and got them ready in the afternoons, back to the gym at night for competition. So it was fun.
No question. What were your responsibilities and what were the other roles that the managers had as a student manager at Kansas?
I mean, it probably just the same as all student managers, I assume. I will say the thing that I appreciated the most, like I came in, Justin Bauman, who you've had on your podcast previously, he was there. To this day, he and I are probably the, you know, thickest thieves. He's kind of my go-to guy in the basketball world of stuff. But prior to him, like Jessica Johansson was a female manager for the men's basketball staff. And like, I think at the time they probably even called her the head manager. Jill and Mandy were all there. And like, I had no idea who these girls were, but like I idolized them. I thought that was amazing that there's these three girls working, you know, like the highest level of college men's basketball. Like, how did you get to do this and what do you do? And even from camps, but then transitioning into, you know, they had graduated by the time I was actually a student. But whatever the boys did, the girls did. There was no difference between, you know, being a male student manager or a female student manager. And Kansas has always had both. But I took probably, you know, a lot of pride in the fact that like I wasn't as good as the boys with the rebounding and whatever. But if managers were asked to do something, like I wanted to make sure that I was doing it as well. You know, I filmed practices and games. I sat under the baskets and did the ball kid stuff. I had a bigger interest in like the equipment side of things. So the uniforms, the laundry, the packing was probably bigger than anything, just because the amount of stuff that we took and how we did it. So I enjoyed that part of it. I spent a little bit of time in the office on the recruiting side of things, but I liked being, you know, downstairs where our equipment room was with the locker room. And then at the time, like, you know, a lot of schools, I don't know that people even really realize this, you know, equipment was just left up to like coaching staffs and student managers. And being in the equipment side of things for the past 15 years, like the amount of product and dollar commitment that goes into this and contracts, like it blows my mind sometimes to think that like JB was the equipment guy, you know, like he was making all these orders and stuff. And good for him. He has all these connections with Nike and, you know, when they were at Nike at the time. But when Kansas switched to Adidas, we brought in someone to kind of start a department and had a whole equipment department who took that over. And I had a real interest in that. I could see a career in that. So I wanted to figure out what he did. And that's where I spent a lot of my time. I did my internship with him. And just got to see an even bigger scope of, you know, like the equipment side of just being a student manager. But I was doing ordering, I was helping with other sports, you're doing forecasting, you're learning how to deal with all sorts of vendors, and ended up just continuing to get paid to do it. So I stayed along that path, but it was all of that just always came easy to me. Organization is easy. Efficiency is easy. So that's kind of where I chose to spend a lot of my time.
Coach Self took over the program in 2003. Yeah, I'm a pretty big Roy Williams fan. Were you at all bummed that Coach Williams had left? And what was your first interaction with the coaching staff like?
Yeah, I mean, I think any Kansas basketball fan at the time thought, like, you know, it was over. Like, what, like Kansas basketball without Roy Williams, like, this isn't going to exist. Who are they going to bring in? And they couldn't have gotten probably a better hire, someone to follow Coach Williams. Coach Self is very different. I didn't probably spend a whole lot of time with Coach Williams from like in the basketball office. I was really more around during the camps and that kind of stuff, but like again, Coach Williams kind of just lived on this pedestal. And then Coach Self came in and it was just like, okay, you're a part of the program. Like, you're just in the family. So Coach Self has an unbelievable skill of welcoming people, talking to people, making you feel a part of whatever's going on. So there was not, I mean, the sadness of Coach Williams left, or of Coach Williams leaving, didn't last very long, because you had this like high energy guy and Coach Self coming in and all the things, and then the way he works and the way that he pushes those players in that program, and just you could see the same level of competitiveness and like, we're going to get this done type of attitude and drive from him. So I honestly, I don't remember probably even the first time I met Coach Self or the staff, but it just transitioned seamlessly and we were just right back into business again.
You were able to see firsthand how the culture was established really under Coach Self. What, if anything, sticks out to you when you look back at those early years and how the standards remain the same, even with a new head coach?
Yeah, I mean, I remember a little bit of like, you know, the transition guys, like, so guys that were on Coach Williams' staff, and then when he left and Coach Self coming in, like, you feel, you know, a little left out, I guess. Like, you're really not sure, like, is this new guy going to want me? Is it all these things that Coach Williams had promised me? Is Coach Self going to keep those? And everybody starts kind of from the base level again of like earning the trust and the respect back. But again, Coach Self just having the personality that he does and the skills of including people, I don't think that lasted terribly long. But you did have a long, you know, line of Coach Williams guys. And then at the end of the day, it's not Coach Williams program or Coach Self's program. It's Kansas basketball. So if you played at Kansas, I mean, if you were a part of any of the programs there, it truly doesn't matter who the coach is. Like, you're always a part of that and an equal part of that, no matter what your role was. So I think those guys started to come back and they still had the same, you know, we were still managers. We were still available to them over the summers for rebounding or working out, and really met a lot of the guys from previous years that continue to come back and be a part of Kansas basketball. So I don't know that, you know, the standard or the culture ever even changed. Coach Self did a great job of coming in and keeping it at the level that Kansas basketball had been, and then continued to take it where it is today.
I'm not sure how much you were involved with this, but what do official visits entail as far as itineraries rolling out the red carpet at a blue blood program like Kansas?
Gosh, I wish those days were not as far away as they were, but recruiting has changed so much from early 2000s to today. But things that we used to do, so like I said, you know, being in the office for the recruiting portion of things, like just what you were able to do. I remember, I don't know why I remember this, probably because it was somewhat awful, but we would have, there's like, we have a list of 100 facts about Kansas basketball, Lawrence, the state of Kansas. And if there was nothing to do, you just went in the office and you started writing these 100 facts on note cards. And you might get through 50 in an afternoon, check off the ones that you did. Somebody else would come in behind you, write another 20. And these stacks of 100 facts would just be, you know, rubber banded together. When a kid would come in for an official visit, you know, we'd go to the hotel, we would take pom-poms, we'd take banners, we'd take flags, and we would go into the room that they were assigned and we would decorate the heck out of this place. So like, you didn't have a choice but be inundated with the crimson and blue. And then we'd take the stack of 100 note cards, and they would be, you know, they're like the pop tent kind of ones or whatever, and we'd put them everywhere. I mean, they were on the beds, they were on the bathroom counters, they're all over the floor. Like, and I remember thinking, like, there's no way any of these kids are coming in and even reading one of these. Like, they're probably just swishing them off the bed, you know, like going about their business. But it was the details of that kind of stuff that we did, and they could have read all 100 of them and they were going to be 100 different facts. But as far as like that, you know, like full itineraries going, like, I don't really remember the concept of how long they were on campus, but, you know, we showed them everything. Like, and again, if you're at a place like Kansas, so like Allen Fieldhouse sells itself. At the end of the day, like, the joke is it's an old barn, but the history that's been in there, like the renovations they've done to it and the things, I mean, the field house today is so different than it was when I was in school. Everything's interactive. Everything is a, it's almost a museum and a monument now for the different things that they have in the booth, Hall of Fame out front. And then, you know, you get to go to the top spots in Lawrence, a chicken finger meal at Jefferson's, you know, take them down to the wheel, take them, you know, all the typical places is where they got to go. But I think a lot of the visits were spent with the players. I mean, you know, you're coming in, like, you have to fit into what we already had or what they already have going on, which I think is similar to most programs today. Just getting to spend the time with the players, the coaches, and seeing if this is going to be the right fit for you.
Oh, very neat. After graduating from Kansas, you spent a season at then Big 12 member Colorado. You talked about kind of your role, but how did you get connected with the Buffs?
That was through Larry Hare. So I didn't know this, but the equipment, you know, directors of equipment have a Big 12 meetings, and he was there early in the summer for those in 2002, and Colorado was the guy that they had. Unfortunately, was going, having some medical issues, so he wasn't really leaving his position. He just needed to take some time away. So they were in a unique situation where they needed someone to come in and fill in, but they couldn't promise you like a full-time job yet. I just graduated, and I thought, well, there's no way, you know, they're going to ask me to not come back to Kansas, right? So thankfully, Larry made it very clear to me he would never hire me until I worked somewhere else. And I thought, well, you a-hole, like, are you kidding me? All the stuff that I've done here, like, I'm the perfect person to work for you. And it's one of the best things that ever happened to me, the best advice that I've been given, and I still to this day give to other people. But made the call to Colorado, said, here's what I've done over the past 5 years at Kansas. And they said, we'd like you to be here next week. So I moved quickly. Unfortunately, that person was not able to go back into that role, so they opened that position up. I had to apply and interview for the job that I'd been doing for 6 months. Thankfully, I got it and spent another, you know, 6 or 7 months there. But it was a good experience. I really liked it. I liked Boulder. I liked Colorado, but the schedule of athletics didn't really lend itself to being able to spend a lot of time in Boulder and doing the things that Boulder has to offer. I never skied once while I lived there. You know, the only time I did any hiking was when people came and visited. So it goes just back to the, you know, college athletics in general is a lifestyle. It's not a job. It's not 9 to 5. And then working the three sports that I did, they had a lot of the same, you know, schedule. Like, it makes sense that men's and women's basketball works together, but it's very, very hard for a support staff member working both of them because there is always somebody that doesn't get 100% of your attention or time. Or so fresh out of college, that was a little bit of a struggle for me to understand, and, you know, the time management of that. But I liked my time at Boulder. Coors Event Center, spent a lot of time inside of that too.
I bet. You returned to Kansas in 2010. How different was it to be on staff as opposed to being a student?
Oh, that was, it was very different. I had the opportunity to work in the athletic director's office at that time. And so obviously, just the exposure, you know, honestly, just being a student manager at Kansas, the exposure that that gave me, I had no idea that people even saw me around, knew who I was, knew what I did. Like, to me, I just showed up and did my job. Like, why would anybody be paying attention to me? But the hard work that I put in, the way that I handled myself, you know, that was noticed by some people. So I had the opportunity to come back and be an administrative assistant in the athletic department or in the athletic director's office. And that's everything runs through there. I had no idea the amount of meetings and people that he's trying to see and people needing him and decisions that he's needing to make. And so seeing the Kansas athletic department on, you know, the professional side of things was something that I value so much because I got to be a part of so many things in that role. I assisted our senior associate AD, Larry Keating. He's the basketball guru. So he did all of Kansas basketball scheduling. Fortunately, he was very self-sufficient, so I didn't have to do a whole lot for him, but just seeing how, you know, how he operated, how he moved, how he handled himself, phone calls that he would take and people that he was involved with opened a lot of doors. Being on the HR side of things, I mean, that helps me today with dealing with student manager stuff, hiring them, having to have conversations with them, knowing what to document. It really gave me a lot of experiences that, you know, you think you know a little bit about while you're a student, but it just opens so many more opportunities. So I loved it. I appreciated it so much and glad that I had the opportunity to do it.
After 2 years back in Lawrence, you moved to UAB as the director of equipment from 2013 to 2016. Talk about that experience in Birmingham and what was it like not being at the Power Five level as far as resources go?
Ooh, eye-opening. I didn't know that it was a possibility that you took a team into a restaurant. I mean, Silver Spoon, I get it. But, you know, when we traveled Kansas basketball, every meal was catered in the hotel. I just thought that that was part of athletics. So, you know, we got Coach Hass and his staff and they're traveling. And I didn't travel full-time with any sport at UAB. That was kind of... It was different for me going from, you know, like traveling on most trips with basketball at Kansas, but finding out that, you know, you just make a reservation for 26 and you go into Outback Steakhouse. I was like, and people don't bother you. Like it was, I mean, moving and operating with Kansas basketball was like a celebrity status. And that's something that was great to be a part of. It has its perks, but it's also like, there are so many times it's like, these are just people. Like, why have we made this into such a, you know, celebrity type of thing? Like, you know, it was not uncommon for people just to be taking pictures of us or wanting to come over and talk to them. So kind of having to isolate them and keep them, you know, like just business track minded, is why we did a lot of stuff in the hotel. But being at UAB, again, like kind of the quick path I took from just being like the second assistant to, I mean, I had my own department and I was making decisions and I had to make sure that the invoices were paid. And when there was an issue with Nike, like they were calling me and all of a sudden I'm making decisions instead of kind of bringing them to a supervisor. Coach Hass was great. Like he came from a Power Five program as well. So he knew what he wanted. He knew things that he wanted to be able to provide to the student athletes at UAB and figuring out how to get that done. Not everything got told yes, but he, you know, I know we renovated the locker room while he was there. That's when cost of attendance first came in. So he and his wife actually, you know, wrote a check for both men's and women's basketball to cover a cost of attendance because a school like UAB didn't have the budget and the resources to even be able to make that a part of athletics. And knowing the value in that, like he wanted to make sure that the student athletes were able to benefit from that as well. So, you know, again, just the people that you get to be around, and the resources may be limited, but if you still have the knowledge of how other things have been done before, like bringing that into a place like that, figuring out how to get it done. And I think that's helped me having to see that. Like, it'd be really unfortunate if you just stayed at a program that, you know, had unlimited resources and never learned how to make things last longer or multiple uses or something like that. But also seeing the things that you can have and then bringing them to a school like UAB, even Western Carolina now, like it's how you treat the student athletes. It's how you value them. It's how you building relationships, like all of those things are free. You don't have to have the resources of a Power Five to really invest in student athletes and make their time here important. I remember being at UAB and thinking, man, like I love my alma mater, you know, like Kansas will always be where I came from. These guys, alma maters, UAB, like we have to do everything we can to make this a top, like first class experience for them to be proud of coming from UAB and not looking at it like, well, it's less than Kansas. No, I mean, your experience needs to be equally valued the same for you to be there. So, you know, we did a lot of, you know, any of the catering type of stuff that we did at Kansas or Carolina, we tried to incorporate that at UAB, and a lot of that stuff is free at the end of the day. So
I couldn't agree more. Danny Manning hires you at Wake Forest. Had you gotten to know Coach Manning when he returned to Kansas, or was it more of just having mutual connections like JB?
We did. So he was on staff while I was a student manager. When I first started at Kansas, we kind of had what we called like an ambassador program. And so that was not full manager. Like that helped with the recruiting side of things and the office a little bit. So I got to see him in that role, as a full student manager, you know, like on the court, practices, travel, all that stuff. Got to spend a lot of time with Coach Manning there. Again, like at first it's a little bit of like, you're like starstruck, right? Like how is like Danny Manning and I are at Chick-fil-A together? Like what? But then, you know, then he just, at that time he wasn't Coach Manning yet. So he was just like, it was just D, like we just D man, like, you know, he was just one of us and he's in the equipment room. And he was at that time, probably more of a supervisor for us, kind of coordinated the student managers and what was going on down there. And he is, you know, has a great eye for detail and particular about things. And he kind of really owned that space, because I don't think Coach Self, it really mattered to him one way or the other. Like the end goal, the product on the court was what, but, you know, Coach Manning was like, no, we're going to wear, you know, blue game warm-up pants, and we're going to switch it to the red warm-up top, and everybody needs to have them on. Like the look of Kansas basketball really kind of came from the detail and precision of Coach Manning during those kind of early 2000s when he was on staff. I mean, down to like, we all traveled in the same travel suit. So to me, like I didn't know any different. Like that's just how I do things at UAB. Like Coach Hass was like, I mean, as long as they're dressed, like how are we going to control if everybody's wearing the same thing? And I'm like thinking, how are we not going to control this? Like we tell them what to wear. And so learning so many of those things from Coach Manning was so much fun. Seeing, you know, getting a glimpse, even working at Wake Forest, you know, like I was actually telling one of our assistants here the other day, like we moved and operated like an NBA program at Wake within the constraints or the, you know, confines that we could, just the way that we treated the guys and the things that we did. And I understood a lot of that coming from Kansas. Like I packed travel bags for every road trip. So the guys would be upstairs practicing, they'd finish, they'd come down, shower in the locker room, come see me in the equipment room, and I'd hand you a duffel bag, and it had your travel suit that you were supposed to put on to travel in. It had a shirt for you to put on to travel in. It had, you know, two or three pairs of shorts and shirts for the 30 hours we were going to be gone in the hotel. We even started packing small like toiletry kits. So you got a mouthwash, a toothbrush, a toothpaste, shampoo in your bag, slides. All you had to bring was your court shoes. And then we'd get there. You'd have a clean travel suit. Like I'd put out a clean travel suit during halftime of the game, and you're wearing a clean travel suit home. So it was a high level operation that we had going on. But I can only imagine if somebody else would have been hired into that position, like even if you were hired into that position, you would have looked at them thinking, we're doing what? But that's how we did things at Kansas. So like it just was like, yes sir, like okay. And so we went and did it, and bar assistant was like, wait, you guys did that? And I was, you know, yes, having a staff of that size like helps all those kinds of things. Resources helps all those kinds of things. But he was great to work for. I really enjoyed being able to kind of build, you know, more a friendship and a professional relationship at Wake with him, as, you know, different than being a student while we were at Kansas together. So I really, really enjoyed my time with Wake and Coach Manning for sure.
Awesome. I got to ask, how was Will Murphy to work with, and what funny stories do you have about our boy Willie?
Oh my gosh, Willie's one of my favorites. Gosh, he was great. So he obviously, you know, he went to Wake, so he knew about Wake Forest. So for me coming in, that was beneficial just to kind of have like a background on things. He knew who people were, or he knew who people was, but the relationships that he already had and just kind of like the institutional knowledge was helpful in about, you know, former players, basketball, and even just the university. I'm trying to think. So facilities were, you know, not what they are today at Wake. And in the old basketball office, there was kind of this, like, there's actually, I think, just more of like a closet or a small film room right outside the actual basketball office. And that's where Willie Murphy and Evan Manning actually were officed together. So the room number was 214. So we just kind of ran with it. And, you know, like the shenanigans that would happen in 214, you never really knew what was going on in there. Both of them working, I mean, extremely hard workers, doing anything needed for the coaches, video wise, scouting, player development. Like those guys were huge for the program, and just the dedication that they gave and the selflessness and the willingness to be a part of whatever was needed. And knowing, like, you know, I've been around coaches and staff members for a while, like Will Murphy's probably only, you know, scratching the surface of his potential in coaching and where he's going to go. So I was super excited when he had the opportunity at Wofford. Hated to see him leave, but very excited for him. We stay in touch, you know, every season when Wofford comes here or we go to Wofford, we'll send a text like, see you tomorrow, and, you know, get the hug on the sideline. So glad to see that he's doing well.
What went through your mind when you found out the coaching staff had been let go at Wake Forest? And did you consider a career outside of college athletics at any point?
Well, that day was, it was bizarre. It was hard. So we were like in the middle of COVID at this point. It was late April, I think. So we had lost in the first round of the ACC tournament, you know, first or second week of March, probably. So, like everything just changed when we got home. It was the talks of, you know, things are going to shut down and what is COVID and all this. And, then things did shut down. So we're on Zoom, you know, like it's crazy. Like every season when it ends, because we're spending 12, 15 hours a day with your staffs, your kids, programs during a basketball season between traveling, practice, just everything that's going on. And so no matter how the season ends, like there's just this shutdown period, and it's great to reset, but you're like, after, you know, 12, 48 hours, you're like, where is everybody you're used to seeing all the time? So having to be, you know, kind of stuck at home, was definitely different for everybody. But then we start doing everything on Zoom, and, you know, I think everybody was aware of the things that were being talked about around that program and staff at that time, and changes that were potentially going to be made. And every week that honestly went by, you think like maybe nothing's going to happen. And then I just remember getting a text that there was a all staff Zoom on a Saturday morning. And so we get on, and you know, the AD's on there, a whole staff's on there. Anybody related to the basketball program was on there, and they give us the news. And it was kind of like, you felt like everybody was like, well, who all got let go? And so, you know, I didn't report to the basketball staff at Wake Forest. I reported through the equipment services department. And I was thinking like, why'd they have all of us on here to let the staff go, you know? And then come to find out, like, we like about every 30 minutes, I'd get a call from someone who was like, I just got called, I'm let go too. And then my call came, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, you know, what did I do? It's just like, it's the first time I've ever been let go from a job. And you just have this, like, you know how much time and how much work you put into to being in whatever role you have in athletics, and to kind of be told like it wasn't enough, like we got to go in another direction, it hurts. So I was frustrated for a while. But all of us that were on that staff, you know, like kind of stuck together, got to COVID, you know, like basketball's like, you know, mini retirement, honestly, at the end of it. I can look back on it now and kind of feel that way about it. I don't have many hard feelings anymore. I've been to Wake a couple of times. We've played there, we've practiced there. So still a lot of great relationships of people that are still there. But you know, we kind of have the summer off and no one's hiring, right? So you're like, what am I supposed to do? I ended up actually selling my house, and I moved down to Florida, like put all my stuff in my parents' garage and lived with a friend, in a very small town of Trenton, Florida, outside of Gainesville. And, you know, we're out on the boat every day, and I truly retired for like 4 months. So it was a great reset. There was a point where things started to open back up in athletics, and I was applying, I'm talking to people that I know. And it was that weird transition time of like, you know, you'd be great at this, but like, you have so much experience, why would you want to start here? And so I was getting passed over for having too much experience, or, you know, that didn't make sense to me. But I was at that time trying to decide, okay, athletics is such a lifestyle, you know, like I've missed friends' weddings, I've missed births of friends' kids, you know, holidays, that kind of stuff, but I truly enjoy and love what I'm doing every day. So it doesn't really ever seem like that much of a sacrifice. Maybe it's time to choose being available for my friends and family. And maybe it's not so bad to just look into an 8-to-5 job and getting to go to those concerts, getting to travel more, getting to go on vacations, seeing people more regularly than I get to, with an athletic schedule. And I tried to convince myself that I was ready for that. And then thankfully I got a call from Coach Gray at Western Carolina, and, I didn't even hesitate to think like I was ready to make that 8-to-5 jump. I jumped right in back into athletics, and, actually in the car and drove straight here. So, I thought about it, but it's too much of who I am and how I operate now that, I still don't think I'm ready to give it up. It's probably an addiction, you know, like the chaos of it and the unknown, the craziness, the highs and the lows that go on every day. So what would I do at a bank, ATM? That's what I always say. When I get tired of doing this, when it's not fun anymore, I'm going to work at a bank 8 to 5. Like, here's your, here, I'm going to be a teller at the window. Here's your cash. Like, if it's not fun anymore, that's what I'm going to do.
It's a good plan. Western Carolina traditionally has been one of the tougher jobs in the SoCon. How have y'all gone about changing the culture and engaging the students to show up and really support the team?
You know, I've heard that statement a few times since I've been in Colowey. Again, I love working in college men's basketball. I love working in college athletics. I don't know that I put a lot of like research and time into like, you know, traditionally what has happened at places or that kind of stuff. So I didn't know that coming in here. I believed in Justin Gray. I knew that he was going to be successful from the season that I, you know, once he retired and came to Wake, the season that we spent together there. And I wanted to be here and a part of what he was doing. So I took this job. There are challenges here that just come with it, but we don't think about those kinds of things. Like, we don't make those be a part of how we do things. We have brought, he has brought what he wants done, and that's just what we do. You know, you get it, it doesn't matter where you're going the first few months you're at a new school. Like, people say it. I hate when people say it, but well, at wherever we did it this way, well, at wherever we did it this way. And you get so used to like a school and how, or procedures of wherever you came from. And so I, from the opportunities that I've had at other schools, I always try to go in and kind of like, who are the people that know what's going on here? Like, let me befriend you. Let me like, show me what you know, help me through this. And so, especially in my role here, like, I had a lot to learn. I can tell you that now, moving from the, from a role that I was very comfortable in, thinking that I knew a lot, getting here and being shown I knew very little, but excited to learn all of it. So finding the people at the school at Western in the athletic department that really kind of could show you what worked and what didn't work. And if you guys want to be successful, like, you got to get over these hurdles and figure those kinds of things out. And so, I don't think we take the approach of like, oh, this is a hard place to win or whatever. Like, we're gonna win. We're going to win. So we're gonna do the things that need to do it. And I think that, you know, it goes back to my comment earlier about there's so many things that we don't have to have the resources for here to do that can still make us successful. Like, we do everything within the rules of what we're allowed to do that we can for our guys and provide them an experience here. Like, they're going to walk away from Western Carolina knowing that this was, you know, the best experience they could have here. And there's so many things, like, we talk about culture all the time, almost to the point that it's like, if you have to hear the word one more time, like, my goodness. But the things that we do, like, it's so much stuff off the court. We spent this whole last summer, we called it We Wednesdays, and we didn't do anything basketball related. So found a guy in town, like, up here, it's beautiful, like, rivers, hiking, the mountains, everything. But you don't really get to enjoy any of that when you're inside of a basketball gym. So we found a guy that does fly fishing tours. And so we took the team fly fishing on a Wednesday. And I guarantee you, everybody was like, we're doing what? We don't want to. At the end of it, like, we had guys buying their own fishing passes to go fly fishing more because they got, you know, the opportunity to do something that they wouldn't have done before. Coach G on our staff is great with the culture piece of it and really, you know, the building relationships, building more, you know, and Coach Gray says all the time, like, be more than a basketball player. Like, you're here, you're in college. It's the same college experience that any other student gets. Like, you're learning yourself, you're learning what you want to be, who you want to become. And so just giving them any opportunity we can to broaden their experience here. We did fly fishing. We had one of our guys said he was the only grill master. All right, here's the grill. Put you to the test. We had him cook for the whole team, and he did pretty good. But just things like that that we can do to build relationships off the court, in a community that there's not a whole lot of extra stuff to do. So you have to do that. You have to have friendships with everybody, relationships off the court, because you're spending a lot of time together with the same people. So it's probably a really long-winded way of saying, like, I'm not really sure what the question was, but you know, it's not accepting the fact here that it's a hard job. Like, we're gonna change that. So we're gonna do what we do, and we'll hopefully be successful with it.
I love it. You know, some of the listeners might not know, but talk about director of basketball operations, what your pregame, in-game, and post-game duties are.
For me, are kind of mini vacations, they almost feel like. And knock on wood, I don't jinx myself that, but it's so much work that leads up to a game day. And for me, like, I use this expression a lot of times, like, I know personally what's supposed to happen. Our staff knows, you know, on just a slightly lower level of what's supposed to happen. Any fan at a game doesn't know what was supposed to happen. So they don't know what didn't happen, or they don't know what messed up. So for me, it's like, prepare everybody as much as possible for going into it from a marketing standpoint, you know, any event that we have going on for that day. And then once you're in it, like, you got to roll with it, because there's always going to be something that doesn't go exactly how you intended it for it to go, but you can't get flustered with it. Like, you just make it the new thing and roll with it. But, you know, pre-games for us, like, we're very routine. So we'll do a shoot around. And then it's at home again. Like, there's so many things that are just feel a little bit more controlled, but nothing in this job is in your control. So we have a great catering, manager and stuff here that, thankfully, they're always on time with the food, and I don't have to stress about that too much. My pregame routine is during shoot around. I go check the meal, and I always, you know, I got to test the cookies and make sure that the sugar cookies are up to par for that day. So they're hot commodity in our program, so they're not always left when you get in there for the meal. So I got to make sure I get one first. But then, you know, we finish shoot around, we have pregame meal, and then everybody kind of has their routine. Like, our student managers will go put out uniforms and get the locker room and the guys ready. Coach Gray likes to, you know, have time to write his board and collect his thoughts, so he'll be in the film room by himself for a while. It's a break that everybody else is kind of doing something to prepare for the game that gives me a little, like, downtime, quiet time, so I'm catching up on receipts or emails back and forth to that's gotten piled up throughout the week. Even preparing for the next trip, like, you know, in SoCon, we're playing Thursdays and Saturdays. So if we're home on Wednesdays and Saturdays, if we're home on a Wednesday, like, I'm calling restaurants and making sure anything's set up for travel, coming up on Friday or Saturday. And then, you know, in game, I'm kind of just available for anything that happens. Like, we have a really good group of student managers from last year and this year that they know their role, and some of them want to be coaches. So, you know, I don't ever plan on coaching a game of basketball. I thought I was getting close there last year with COVID, and our staff was, you know, kind of dropping off. And I thought, I'll do it. I think it'd be fun, but can we get some of you guys healthy again? But giving them the opportunity to really learn about, you know, basketball and stuff that goes on in game, and then post game, you know, it's pretty much whatever the announcement is for the next day, making sure the post game meal is ready and here for everybody. But I like home game days. Road game days are, you know, last year was tough because it's the first time I've been to any of these arenas. I don't know where anything is. So we get there and I'm, you know, I joke, I was like, my name is not Suri sometimes. Like, you can't just ask me any question and I can repeat an answer to you. So it's figuring a lot of stuff out. You know, if we we figure out what our staff needs. And so we pack all of that. We have anything with us that we may need, down to, you know, dry erase markers. Like if he likes to write in black and the visiting team's only given us a red one, or we bring our own whiteboard just in case the other one's not big enough for what we need to write on. So we're fully prepared for anything. And then just being available to assist as needed. You know, I work with our director of tickets on ticketing. So, you know, if any of our coaches' families or staff families or player families have any issues with tickets, like I'm carrying my phone around all the time and running back and forth to different things. So it's a little bit of a catch-all on game days, it feels like.
I definitely know the feeling. What's it like being a female who coaches men's basketball? I'm sure you get asked that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I do, and I wish I had a better answer, but I don't know any different, right? And so I've been around men's basketball since I was in college, and I've always been treated equally, you know. Has never been a, oh, as the girl, you need to go do this. So I see no different in it, right? Like, I understand it's kind of an anomaly. You got to have pretty tough skin. You got to be able to take the criticism well. There are times where I think, like, I'm just going to go cry in the bathroom, but, like, you got to be really tough, you know? And it's not like I've ever worked for anyone that has been, you know, really hard on me or really mean or anything like that. Like, everybody I've worked with has always been really great and treated me very fairly, which I've appreciated. I expect that from them. I don't want to be, you know, treated differently because I am a female. I think I knew I was going to be good in this role a while ago, especially at Wake, helping JB kind of assisting with some off stuff, because I bring such a different perspective to it. I think I bring two different perspectives, actually, because I don't, for as long as I've been around basketball at the highest level, like, I don't understand any of it. Like, you could ask me to this day a play that we run, no idea. Like, I'd stay in my lane of, you know, it's a joke now. It's like, it's buses and hotels. Like, I can answer any question about any of those kinds of things, logistics, basketball wise, who's coming in, who's starting, who's getting the minutes. Like, it's, that is just kind of part of what I do, or it's just, you know, like around what I do. But especially being on the basketball staff here full time, really got a glimpse at how differently, like, the male and female brain works, right? So, like, and probably even, like, on an extraordinary, like, an extreme end, I'm very organized, I'm very efficient, I'm very, like, not to, like, a psycho level, but, like, everything has a place, every place has a thing to me, and that's because there's so many people that are operating within it, so anything that we're doing, I like it to be consistent, because I might not be here, you know, and this has been proven. It's been proven a couple of times this year with our staff even, but with COVID, like, you never know when someone's going to not be able to be around. And so I wasn't able to go on two trips in December. I was in quarantine. So you got to, like, pick up for me where I can't do these things. And so doing it routinely all the time, and then everybody kind of being aware of what's going on, has helped. I do it, you know, with our students in the equipment room. Like, I don't really care if you decide the towels want to be folded hamburger style. Like, here we fold them hot dog style, and they all get folded the same, and they all look the same. Like, there better never be a time I walk in the locker room and shower towels are on the rack, you know, all different directions and just kind of thrown up there. Like, those are the details that, you know, through all the different programs I've been a part of, like, those matter, and down to, like, how the shower towels are folded in the locker room. Cause at any point someone might walk through there and think, like, we're putting our best presentation forward at all times. But, you know, I think on our staff, it gives, you know, we have a video coordinator, we have a GA, like, they get opportunities to be involved basketball wise that maybe not every video coordinator or GA does, because I'm not taking up, like, the director of operations isn't kind of, you know, in that landscape of the actual basketball stuff. So I do a lot of, you know, like our daily schedule, our travel, marketing, housing, meal plans, financial aid, academics, ticket office, compliance. Like, I'm the liaison to a lot of those. That really frees up a lot of the other time for our staff to really just focus on basketball. So I think, you know, I don't always understand why we need to do something some way. And sometimes I'll let it go for a while. And then I'll say, why are we doing it like this? And they'll, Coach D will look at me and be like, what do you mean? I'm like, could we try it this way? And he's like, why didn't you say that weeks ago? You know, like, it's just so how, like, you can get set in ways of thinking just basketball wise, or, you know, I see things a lot from our players' perspective of like being respectful of their time. And, you know, I admire every student athlete that I've ever, you know, gotten to work with because of the sacrifice that it takes to be a student athlete and the time demands that are put on you. So anywhere that I see something that can make them more efficient or our schedule more efficient to, you know, kind of release some of that stress off of them, I always try to bring it up. But I don't see my, you know, I don't walk into every gym thinking like, wow, I'm the only female on the sideline. And we actually have a female trainer this year. So it's, you know, we've bonded a little more quickly over like the two girls and how we see things and how other stuff, but I like it. I don't really think anything different of it, but a lot of people ask me that, what's it like? I'm like, I assume it's like what it's like for you, to be quite honest, you know, like we're still both doing the same job, right? But yeah, no difference for me.
Perfect. Do you aspire? I mean, you mentioned you don't aspire to be a head coach or assistant coach, but do you aspire to maybe be like an associate AD or move up the administrative side, or do you really like the role that you're in now?
I do really enjoy the role that I'm in now. I assume at some point, like, it will get to the point where it's like, you know, this is too much. It's a lot, right? Like, it's 24/7. It's answering any question at any time from anybody. What I've learned in this role is it really, there's never a break or there's never a stopping point. I have always thought about the administrative route. I love to be a part of, you know, even more so in this role, like as the director of equipment at UAB, I sat on senior staff. So I really got a glimpse of what kind of the administrative role was like and the decisions that go into that and everybody kind of playing their part in different roles and how it's all interconnected and decisions that have to be made that are going to, you know, benefit some and make some happy, but the same decision is going to, you know, hinder someone else or not make them, you know, that program happy. I like the big picture that administration, you know, brings for the whole of an athletic department. But in my role here, I'm getting to know, like, it's setting me up for an administrative role someday, because knowing and understanding how all these things affect a program specifically is going to bring a better light from an administrative role. So, you know, like, I know a lot of people that have always worked on just the administrative side, and all you're thinking is like, you know, athletic department, what's the athletic department, how do things work? And again, doing day to day with the men's basketball program, the things that, you know, sometimes we think, well, like, yeah, I mean, we have a great academic staff here and an academic program set up, but like, we want more one-on-one attention for our student athletes. So someday on an administrative side, like, looking at this in whole total picture, like, you may have a group of student athletes that don't need as much one-on-one attention, and you may have a group that does need a lot of one-on-one attention, and making that department not be so cookie cutter. Like we need to be flexible about things. We need to really understand how each program needs things set up instead of just from an academic standpoint how we're set up. So I think it's given me a lot of good experience to translate into that someday. Again, I'm still crazy. I love the chaos of it. I love, I love the interactions with the student athletes. And that's what I really missed when I got out of, was in the admin side back at Kansas. The things that I stay out of their business as much as I can, but just some of the things, like, they are so funny. They're such good kids. And the thing, like, they keep me still feeling young and current. Like, we talked about something on TikTok and it's like, you have TikTok? I'm like, hold on. Of course I have TikTok. Like, I'm not that old yet, like, I can still relate, but being there for them is what I really enjoy about the job and getting to know them outside of basketball, because, summer is a big time for me and for us, because you're bringing all these new kids in and you're helping them at the dorms. And it's kind of just like the friendly face that's always there to, like, they don't know what's going on. Last year, I didn't know what's going on, but now, I do know what's going on. So I can make that transition a little more seamless for them and really welcome them and make them feel like they're starting off on a solid ground. So I enjoy that part of it.
That's a great answer. All right. So in full transparency, Western swept Wofford this season. And for a while, it was looking like we were going to face off in the SoCon tournament. Wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. Be honest. Do you think you would have won that third matchup on a neutral court?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm probably one of the ones on. I'm winning every match walking in. Like, I'm going in with confidence. And I do think a lot of that comes from my time at Kansas, because humble brag, we did, right? So there was some learning lessons at Wake, right? Like, we've never lost this many times. So it's good to be back on the winning side. We did have a lot of firsts for the program here, or firsts in a while anyways, some sweeps, some wins over some conference, teams that haven't happened in a while, but winning and losing is part of it, but I'm excited to be back on the winning side of things. And I think this program is in that direction. Coach Gray is in that direction. It's who he is. It's a part of who he is. And I don't doubt that we'll have many more sweeps and many more successes at Western.
All right. I at least agree with the second part of that answer. We've come to the segment I call start, bench, cut. I give you three things. You start one, bench one, and cut one.
Okay.
Nike, Adidas, Under Armour.
Oh gosh, for many different reasons. I'll start Nike, just in case any Nike reps are out there listening, like, send some product my way. I would probably bench Under Armour and cut Adidas. I like Under Armour's, like, clothes, footwear, they're not there, but I have all three in my closet, to be honest. So
Perry Ellis, Mario Chalmers, Wayne Simmien.
Okay, I'll start Rio. He and I were Mario. We were students together, so it's got to spend a lot of time with him. I'll bench Wayne, I guess, because he spent time. I didn't really know Perry Ellis, so I know the our athletic trainer actually, she did her undergrad at UNC, so we've had the rival all year of, national champs. I get to plug that in wherever I can. And she showed me a tweet the other day of Armando Bacot saying he was coming back, but posted a picture of Perry Ellis. And she was like, I don't get it. And I was like, oh, because he was in college for like 40 years. Like, that's the joke, apparently. So, yeah.
That's funny. Cookout, Bojangles, Chick-fil-A.
I'll start Chick-fil-A, bench Cookout, and cut Bojangles.
Okay, last one. Hoop Dirt, Verbal Commits, Transfer Portal.
Oh my gosh. Like, I'd have an easier answer, like, easier chance answering Starbucks, Kardashians, or like Chapstick or something. Verbal commits, hoop dirt, and transfer portal. I'll go start transfer portal just because I know how relevant that is. You hear the term all the time. The other two, I'll be honest, I'm not really. Which one needs a plug? I'll bench them and cut the other one. But I see verbal commits all the time, in our group meet chat with the staff of guys that are in the portal, the people moving and shaking different all over the place now. So I'd say verbal commits and then hoop dirt.
Fair enough. Who are three guests I should have on the podcast?
I'd say Cody Cohen, our video coordinator, currently here. He's had a bit of a unique path, and time spent in the profession, and just great overall person, gets it. I think Coach Gray would be, good for the podcast. He also has a unique, I mean, that's kind of one of the great things about our staff right now is it's never, not everybody has just a clear path of how it seems like it should work, which is a testament to him of putting together a great staff of everybody, weaknesses and strengths being used together. I could recommend my friend Jenna Jessup. She's the women's director of operations at Kansas. And I would only say that because the amount of conversations that she and I have back and forth daily of, you're never going to believe this. And just the level of, like you were talking about, the resources at some, schools and things that she deals with as a director of operations that I guarantee you and I think we would only want to dream about dealing with as director of operations and the resources that they do have and some of the things that, that she has to handle and take care of.
What's the best piece of advice you could give someone who wanted to get into a director of basketball operations role?
I would say, go in with the understanding that you don't know anything. Every day will be a challenge of some kind, whether it's time, just the amount of time that you may be in the office. There'll be a challenge of the amount of things that are thrown at you in that day. Doesn't matter what you had planned for that day. Other things are going to come up that take precedence. But really go into it just with an open mind of, you're gonna come across so many people. And maybe this is different for me for the years of experience that I have in college athletics, but you're gonna come across so many people that have been a part of something else as well. And so you've got to be kind of the connector to getting a lot of different ideas or suggestions put together for what's going to most benefit, your program or the staff that you're working on. And don't be so close-minded or shut off to think that just there's only one way to do anything. Really be open to different mindsets, different ways of thinking, different ways of doing something.
Love it. Coach, if listeners want to get in touch with you, email, social media, what have you, what's the best way?
Oh man, probably not social media. I don't have time to be on that very often. My email here is mbashand@wcu.edu. I'm on Instagram and Twitter very rarely, unless something's going on and I gotta like search why everybody is talking about something. But I think my Twitter name is just at Molly Bashan, and my Instagram is at Molly Bashan as well.
Awesome. Coach, can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. This was fun.
Thanks for listening to the Beyond the Box Score podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, leave reviews, and rate 5 stars.